following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
At the Fram Proving Grounds, we impose harsh punishment on Fram filters. We explode them, we pound them, we crush them. But we don't do it because we've got a mean streak. We do it to make sure they can take the road's punishment and still help protect your engine. Like Fram Extra Guard, built to protect three times better than average economy filters. So don't unfairly punish your car with a cheaper filter. Give it tested, proven Fram Extra Guard. Fram, don't fail your engine. See serious punishment at Fram.com.
I'm here with a lunch bandit whose voice has been disguised to protect his identity.
Yes, I steal and eat other people's lunches from the office fridge.
How has the Domino's $5.99 oven-baked lunch menu affected you?
There are no lunches to steal. Everyone's ordering from Domino's.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me so hungry.
Domino's $5.99 oven-baked lunch menu. Carry out any oven-baked sandwich, small two-topping pizza, penne pastas in a dish, or stuffed cheesy bread for just $5.99 each. Carry out only. Offer available until 2 p.m. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation may vary. Gluten-free crust may be extra.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Happy Friday, everyone. Doug Duda along with Mike Will on this Friday program. There is so much going on in the Tri-Cities. I hope you're able to take advantage of as much as going on out there. Some things are a yearly occurrence, like the Adams County Fair, like Cruise Night going on. Sometimes you catch a lot of baseball. Area tournaments are going on. Some state begin tomorrow. You've got roller derby going on at the Viero Event Center tonight, and we've got a lot more to talk about. The British Open, of course, is rolling along. Brant Snedeker getting the job done. We're less than a week away now from Big Ten Media Days, and even more coming out when it comes to stories. I am so afraid, and we'll touch on this in just a minute. Dustin Dupirak from Bloomington Herald Times going to join us to talk Indiana football. Why? Well, because they're in the conference, and if we're going to do 12 teams in 12 days, we have to talk about Indiana sometime. Mike Will, voice of the Hastings Broncos and our sports director in the Hastings office, joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Michael. How's the fair going?
Fair is going well at the Adams County Fairgrounds. It's one of those things that we wrap up our broadcast things over here about 8 o'clock. Bad news, beer stand stays open till 1. Beer stand stays open till 1 o'clock. So it's been some late nights. We still got a couple of more to go. I've got baseball tonight, the Area 7 tournament out at Duncan Field. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend.
I'll tell you, so much is going on out there. And, of course, don't forget the Hastings-Kearney game is on 1230 KHAS tonight. You take a look at the statements. I'm afraid, Mike, when we go to Chicago next week, that I almost wish it was the format of the old Big 12 conference, because it was 3 days. You brought in four teams a day, and you, once those teams were gone, they were gone. And before they got there, you were talking to other people. That's not the case with the Big 10. All the coaches and all the players are there on Thursday. That is the media availability. Then they have a brief two-hour early Friday morning availability where you try to get some one-on-ones. Or the good thing, if you're in the newspaper business, you can stand anywhere and get quotes. If you're trying to get one-on-ones, radio and TV, a little tougher. But the availability will be a little it's more, but everybody's there, and all they're going to want to talk about is Urban Meyer, Penn State's problems, and now we talked about it at length yesterday, the discussion that Jim Delaney and the President's Council may have a chance to fire coaches. And we're not just talking football coaches, people. We're talking any coach in any sport in the Big Ten Conference. And then Harvey Perlman, who has kind of been the speaker for the Big Ten Conference, comes out and says that it is not poised to give Commissioner Jim Delaney the authority to fire coaches. And on another topic, they have not even discussed whether to oust Penn State from the conference, which is just ludicrous for anybody to bring that up. Mike, I'm afraid we're going to be talking way more about that kind of junk than actual football, and that's too bad.
Yeah, what do you think about that Penn State deal with Delaney? Does that give him too much authority to actually fire coaches at an institution?
Somebody somewhere threw this out in a column on a sports talk show, maybe in the president's meeting somewhere. Again, as we've said so many times, let some of the dust settle. This is such an overreaction. I mean, there's plenty of coaches, I'm sure, that could have been shown the door. You can't. I mean, can you imagine if Delaney and the Big Ten Conference says,
Jim, you're out.
Jim Tressel, you're fired. Pick anybody. We don't like, you know, Bo Pelini. We didn't like you pointing and putting your finger in Taylor Martinez's chest. You're fired. He's going to sue the Big Ten. It's era we live in. It's a no-win situation, so don't put yourself in that situation.
I think that's a stupid, stupid idea. Obviously, all those commissioners, does anybody else have that authority? I don't think so. Anybody else, as far as like the SEC commissioner thinks, they don't have that. No. What are we looking at it for in the Big Ten then?
Again, I think it's just in this day and age, one person can spout it off, and it'd be like throwing a match out in the prairie today. It might not catch fire, but when it does, it's going to spread all over, and that's exactly what's going on with this story. Perlman's...
How come they never take any of our ideas in? We come up with some good ones. Why don't they take our ideas?
They are pretty good. Perlman said, these reports are at best misleading. There has been absolutely no discussion about Big Ten presidents or with the commissioner about ousting Penn State from the conference. In circumstances requiring immediate and decisive action, they're talking that Delaney would be granted unilateral authority to take any and all actions. Huh?
Whatever that means.
These other 11, I'm sure the other 11 schools, again, what if it's your coach at your school in your favorite sport? I mean, come on, people. And this is what we're going to hear about all day next Thursday. The national media, they can't wait to get there because there's so many big stories that have nothing to do with football.
So we're going to hear it all day Thursday, huh? You and I?
We're not, because we're going to talk to coaches and players. And when the coaches get in front up on the dais and you're watching it on the Big Ten Network or you're listening to it online, I'm sure it'll be brought up. You know, hey, what do you guys think about this? What do you guys? It'll be the I'm working on a story about possibly Commissioner Delaney having the right to fire any coach. Coach Brady Hoke, what do you think about that?
Yeah, we'll see that all day. And they only got a small amount of time on the podium, don't they?
Yeah, I think each coach goes for about 15 to 30 minutes. Yeah. It varies, I guess. But as we get ready for Indiana today, Mike, we were talking before we went on the air.
These guys are bad.
Oh, how
there's no truth to the rumor that Hastings College and UNK are looking to maybe get these guys on our non-conference schedule. There's no rumor to that. These guys are not very good.
It is brutal. Phil Steele has four Indiana Hoosiers on. He goes with four all-conference teams. And so what do you got, about 88 kids? Four of them are from Indiana, and two of them are on the fourth team.
This team was 1-11 last year. In fact, they never led for a snap in the second half of a single Big Ten game last year. They got outscored by like 196 points.
Oh, and their only win was against a non-Division I opponent in South Carolina State. Now, the funny thing, I guess, if you want to say, they played Ball State to within 7 to start the year under a new coach last year, Kevin Wilson, the Oklahoma assistant in his second year, and Virginia, who went on to a bowl game, 34-31. And then they lost at North Texas by 3, Penn State by 6, and then the writing was kind of on the wall. They still battled at the end. They played to Purdue to 8 points in the last game, but they had 4 or 5 games on the road after they were already 1-6. Wisconsin, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan State, all those games were on the road. That'd been tough for anybody.
Look at the first three games they play this year. Indiana State, at Massachusetts, and then Ball State. Could they go 3-0?
No.
You know anything about Indiana State or Massachusetts?
Well, the most exciting thing about that whole stretch is the game that's at Massachusetts is at Foxborough, home of the Patriots, so they can say that they played there.
And they've got none of their road trips in the Big Ten are going to be tough. That makes a difference. Northwestern, Illinois, Penn State, and Purdue. Those are their road games in the Big Ten. So
they also have a non-conference game in the middle of the conference schedule at Navy. And I think that's a special site game. I think they changed that to a special site game, and I'll have to double-check that. But Doug Dudemike, Will with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Love to have you be a part of the discussion. 888-455-ESPN. That's 888-455-3776. You can email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's a long one, but once you type it in once, you got it saved. Doug, spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. As we said, there's plenty of action going on, and it's even enough to get the Tri-City Storm to put out their select players. And diehard Storm fans are going to know who's on the roster and who's not, but they've got 14 forwards, 9 defensemen, 3 goalies, 26 players that they trimmed it down to coming out of a Las Vegas where they had their tryout camp. And Mike, if it's anything like we've seen with owner Kirk Brooks here, he doesn't want to, but we've seen so much turnover that it's hard to even get accustomed to some of these kids.
Is it too early to even wonder about who's going to be playing on this team for this year or what?
Well, I think you got your Tim Bonners, your Tim Lappins, the kids that we've known that were big-time contributors last year. And then you got to try to find out who else. There's 3 goalies on the squad. Obviously, they're only going to keep 2, and Christian Fry is on there. I've got to assume they've got 2 other kids that are coming in that weren't with the Storm last year. That'll probably be the big one. Who do you get there? Do you try and get somebody else? But Michael Vecchione is going to be back as well, and the team also returns 3 veterans in 3-year league veterans, Brian Ward, Dylan Maller, and Josh McArdle. So some experience, a little bit of experience, will be coming back at Coach Howgie in his first full season. So he's going through all of this for the first time with the Storm preseason-wise.
What do we have to do to get better for the Storm? What do we need to improve the most for this upcoming season?
That is
you hockey fans might know that.
Yeah,
you've watched the Tri-City Storm. If you know, let us know.
Yeah, give us your opinion, Storm hockey fans. What does the Storm need? I know that they've been banged up by injuries. I think my personal opinion, and again, I can only tell you I'm a casual observer of hockey. But, boy, there was a lot of turnover with this team last year. I thought there was way too many trades and moving people. And I mean, it just seemed like whims from time to time. And it ended up being one of the reasons there was a coaching change with this team. And you got to have some stability with your hockey program. I think that's one of the issues, Mike. And I know you have to make trades when you get injuries. And let's still remember, if it hadn't been for Jaden Schwartz, we probably say that the Storm is continuing to make strides every year, because 3 years ago they were abysmal. They were Nebraska basketball, Indiana football.
They'll get better.
Yeah.
They'll get better. We scored a lot last year toward the tail end of the season, didn't we? We scored quite a bit.
Yeah, and the fan support was picking up. We talked about that, Mike. You know, the fan support picks up. The better you play, the more the fans. It's cyclical. It's kind of the egg and the chicken, but they got to play better, and then the fans are going to be back out there because the Storm, you know, the newness obviously has worn off in a dozen years.
People like to follow winning programs. It doesn't make any difference if it's soccer, basketball, football. People like to enjoy winning programs. So if the Storm can turn it around, yeah, they're going to pack the place again.
Out there at the Viero Event Center tonight, roller derby. You ever been to roller derby, Michael?
Oh, many, many years ago as I was a pup. I think I can remember roller derby came to Hastings. I might have went out there at the city auditorium, big event with roller derby. It's kind of coming back, isn't it?
Yeah, there's trying to get more teams around the country. Tonight, Salina comes in. I know Omaha, all these teams that are in their league. The opening bout will be the new franchise, Tri-Cities Rolling Thunder, takes on the Salina Sirens, and then the Rocky Mountain Roller Girls, the main event after that. $12 general admission, $18 for, here's what I like, suicide seating on the floor.
Oh,
you can't do any better than that. Of course, it's cruise night, so they're calling this bruise night. Doors open at 6:30. The event begins at 7:30 tonight. So check it out if you like this action. Or if you haven't, if you're just intrigued by it, this would be a good way to go out, take the family, and spend some time indoors, get a little bit out of the heat, the roller derby tonight at the Viero Events Center.
Next time they come to town, you and I ought to see if we can get on wheels. No. You ever been on roller skates?
Yes, I have, and it's been a long time ago.
Do the limbo?
Long time ago. Yeah, I was very bendy. very
I can
bendy.
Remember those days out of the roller skating rink doing the limbo.
Wow, it's incredible. Hey, folks, and now maybe something a little more up our alley if we weren't so busy this weekend. It's always been fun down at Horseman's Park in Omaha. They went two weekends this year. They had the first weekend last weekend and tonight at 6, Saturday and Sunday at 2. And they say the heat's taking its toll because they've dropped a couple of horses in some of the races, so not as many full fields as they had hoped. But still pretty decent crowds in Omaha for Horseman's Park.
So horse racing continues. Of course, the future of Lincoln's still kind of up in the air.
Yeah. You
know, we'll get him back here to fodder. We'll get our old buddy Steve Anderson, get him fired up again. We know that's going to take place again next year, but beyond that, who knows, huh?
Well, we love Fodder Park. It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time. And, you know, it just seems, I know Saturdays are big. If they could find, if the people of Central Nebraska could find ways to increase attendance on Friday and Sunday, and it's getting better. From the times that we were there and from the numbers and all that we're hearing. But always a fun time there at Fodder Park. 888-455-ESPN here in the Doug and Daddy Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Let's take a look at the leaderboard at the British Open. Good news, golf fans. If you need a fourth for your foursome this weekend or a scramble tournament, Phil Mickelson is available. And he's pretty darn good out of the sand because he was in it all day today. Mike, you know, and any golfer out there knows that just there's some point in your round when you're not, even if you're very good, even if you're a scratch golfer, there's some point in your round where you just say, I'm going home. And Mickelson with back-to-back double bogeys, a 78 today, 11 over par for the tournament, 8 over today, and is in the bottom 10 of the 156 players that played in the British Open.
He's done. Got the weekend off. Hey, did you see who's amongst the leaders, though? Remember Wednesday I told you who I'd like to win the British Open? Don't want to toot my horn yet, but look who is sitting in third place right now. Tiger.
Boy, you really went out on a limb.
Well,
you
come
went on. Out on a big limb.
Who'd you take?
I don't remember. I took the field, didn't I? I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't even know that I picked anybody.
Tiger Woods is sitting at, 5 under? Through 10 or so?
Yeah, he's 5 under par today through 10, 2 under for the round. Brant Snedeker got out late yesterday, finished late yesterday, shot 66 yesterday, and then was blistering today, 6 under through his first 12 holes, and then he parred his way in and finished 10 under. He has a 2-shot lead over Adam Scott, who got off with a bogey today, but now he's 2 under. He's at 8. Woods is at 5. Paul Laurie and Graham McDowell are at 4 under par. And that's kind of where we'll draw the line. Mark Calcavecchia, how about the old man? 68 today, and he is 1 under par for the tournament and ran into some problems late in his round. But Mark Calcavecchia, you always find a couple of the veterans up there on the leaderboard, and Tom Watson isn't too far back either.
Yeah, a lot of rain overnight, didn't they? They had a lot of water on the course early today when things got started.
Yeah, a good rainstorm overnight, and it softened up some of the conditions. In fact, what I found weird, I think it was Keegan Bradley, was in a bunker that they hadn't drained of water. And that's just kind of unheard of in the United States. They don't even let you. I mean, it wasn't just like a little drip of water. It was like half the bunker was full of water. And if he was going to drop, you drop in that wet sand, it plugs. Uh-huh. You can't place it. Another stupid rule. I mean, you're playing conditions. Nobody's cheating. Everybody gets to place the ball. I mean, you're taking it out of a puddle of water. Why the hell would you drop it and have it embed in sand? It just takes no – again, it's just another stupid golf rule for a game that we love to play. So he just put on the rain suit and hacked it out of the water. I loved it.
That's what we would do. I think I heard earlier today that actually one of the bunkers had a duck in it. Had a duck in it while they were playing. That's how much water was still standing in the bunkers.
That's good stuff. Good stuff, folks. You know what else is good? Troutman's quality meats while you're out. Heck, you might not even need the grill with this kind of weather. You just put it on a little pan on the sidewalk. You're ready to go, but take care of business. Cruise night weekend, Troutman's has your tailgating needs covered. Whether you're going to cruise night, whether you're going to the fair, whether you're going to see a concert, whether you're going out to roller derby, they'll let you tailgate in the parking lot at the VRO Event Center. Sausages and brats fresh out of the smokehouse from Carrie and the gang. And, of course, they have snack sticks and summer sausages. Carrie just made some fresh jerky, folks. Fill up the golf bag, the tackle box, the cooler as you got your family out and about. And, The famous baked beans are up and going again. They've also got pork, chicken, and, of course, your favorite hot dogs. Beer and wine there to wash it down, and they've got some unique selections as well. USDA Choice Certified Angus Beef, always there for you at Troutman's, and their quality steaks are aged a minimum of 30 days for peak flavor and tenderness. Always a large selection and always friendly service to get you in and out and on your way. Sausages and brats right out of the smokehouse today. It's always there for you. Enjoy cruise night or whatever it is you're doing this weekend and stop by Troutman's Quality Meats, a girl's best friend, across from Bob's Superstore, Highway 30 in Kearney. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coming up around the corner, Dustin Dupirak from the Bloomington Herald Times as 12 teams in 12 days continues with the Indiana Hoosiers. Plus, we'll take a look at some Legion baseball and maybe even peek into the old Big 12 conference after this.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Buying a new car is easier when you can see the things that really matter. Now, KellyBlueBooksKBB.com gives you a whole new way to look at your new car decision by shedding light on everything that counts. KBB.com compares the long-term costs of maintenance, insurance, and gas so you can decide which car is right for you. And we'll show you what you should pay based on what other people have paid for the same model. Everything you need to make a smart new car decision illuminated right in front of your eyes at KBB.com. Visit the trusted resource today.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at ibm.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Lose 7 to 15 pounds in 7 days. Let's face it, for the majority of people, diets don't work. What you need is something that does, the Yoli Better Body System.
Hi, this is Peggy. Thanks to the Better Body System, I have lost 29.5 pounds in just 23 days.
The Yoli Better Body System is about more than losing weight.
This is Don Resnicek. I'm losing weight and inches around the waist. Above all, blood sugars are double digit compared to triple digit.
Thousands of people are losing weight while eating real food.
This is Stacy. Thanks to the Yoli Better Body System, I have lost 15 pounds in 28 days.
People are experiencing weight loss and better health.
This is Ryan Young. Since I've been on the Yoli Better Body System, I have lost 31 pounds and my triglycerides dropped from 429 to 147.
The Better Body System is all natural and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Find out more. Go to TriCityBetterBody.com. That's TriCityBetterBody.com.
Major League Baseball on ESPN Radio. After a slow start, the Angels finished the first half, closing the gap with the Rangers.
To left, that one way back, and that one is gone. Home run, Albert Pujols.
Now they go head-to-head at Angels Stadium of Anaheim.
Turning, looking, gone. Home run, Josh Hamilton.
Major League Baseball on ESPN is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings, where unlimited wings are back for a limited time. Weekdays from 11 to 2, all the wings and fries you can eat for a special price.
It's important, and it's personal.
The pressure.
You're sitting here talking to the Big Ten conference media, or whether you're sitting at the water cooler.
The gossip.
Maybe I shouldn't have done that tweet, but...
The pride.
Humbling to be part, in my opinion, of the greatest conference in this country.
The confidence.
I'll let my pages talk.
At Big Ten Media Day, where we send Doug Duda and Mike Will to Chicago for live two-hour Doug and Daddy shows. Brought to you by Bruce Furniture on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
A heat advisory continues for our area today as we'll see lots of sunshine with a high of about 102 with winds out of the southeast increasing to 10 to 20 at times later today. Tonight we'll stay clear with a low at 70. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 90.
Full moon shining bright,
edge of the water, we were feeling all right. Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Jake Owen going to be at the Adams County Fair tonight. That's going to be a good one. It's going to be warm, but I expect there to be a huge crowd tonight. And, of course, our gang at ESPN 1550, 1230 KHAS will be on hand at the Adams County Fair. Doug Duda, Mike Will with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show, where it's time for our TNL Husker Recruiting Report, brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems. Choosing the right recruit for Nebraska can be a difficult decision, but choosing your pivot system well with TNL, the choice is simple, providing a safe, hassle-free, and reliable hydrostatically powered pivot for continuous movement and even water distribution. Find out how easy the choice is yourself by contacting your nearest TNL dealer worldwide headquarters located in Hastings. And Mike Will, the real, I guess, if you want to call it big news, is Travell Dixon out of Baldwin, Louisiana, at the beginning of the week. I decommitted. He was 13, and now we're down to 12, and out of Baldwin, Louisiana. I mean, before the season even starts, you got somebody that's apparently decommitting, but he told Husker Online that he's not committed to anybody, and he's still interested in Nebraska. So that's why I never get too caught up in. I mean, yeah, if you land a big four or five star need guy and you know he's coming, or you got a Wester camp like we did last year, I mean, those are kids that you do want to pay attention to, but you've always got to take it with a grain of salt, because there's always kids that change their minds with so much time before signing day in February.
At least he says we're still on the radar screen, though. That's good news there. And who knows, he could commit to us again. Some other schools are probably in his ear right now, and who knows what's being said behind the scenes, huh?
Well, and there's so much going on as the Huskers get ready to head to Chicago. We'll be answering some of those questions with the crew that's going down. Kyler Reed and Will Compton and Rex Burkhead of the players for Nebraska. Coach Bo Pelini, we'll be hearing from him next Thursday as well on the Doug and Daddy Show as they get ready to get going for this season. And, of course, Husker Online has so much information up there for you. Hail Varsity, new magazine that's coming out with our friends, the Babcocks, Mike and Aaron. And next Wednesday, our 12th team in the 12 teams in 12 days will be Nebraska's Sean Callahan of Husker Online, Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star will be joining me here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk Husker football. I'll throw it out to you now, folks. If you've got a Husker question that you want us to ask on the Husker Roundtable, email it to us at the Dent Popper inbox, Dent Popper, the home of the Armor Lining. All you have to do is send it to us at DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Love to pass that along to Sip, to Sean, or to Mike Babcock. What's your question right now for those guys, Mike Will?
The most thing I'm interested in is, coming out of the spring, we didn't have a game. Remember that? We didn't have a spring game this year. So I guess we go back to the offense again. How good is our offense going to be? And I know you talked about it the other day, is how good the defense is going to be. But who knows? They always say Taylor Martinez is vastly improved. We haven't seen it yet because we didn't get to see him in the spring game. Most of the practices are closed down. A lot of people didn't get to see him during the spring. So is he improved as much as everybody are saying that he has improved?
Well, Archie Manning joined Steve Sipple on his radio show earlier in the week in Lincoln, and Taylor Martinez was down at the Manning quarterback camp. Says Martinez spent the latter part of the week at the Manning Passing Academy down in Thibodeau, Louisiana, where Archie and his sons were working closely with campers. The college quarterback spent most of their time with the high school kids coaching them up, but there were a couple throwing sessions for the college guys, and Manning said, they're just throwing against air, no coverage, we have receivers running routes, and he says, I thought Taylor threw well. He handled himself really well. We were really, really glad to have him. The college guys kind of hang together and get to know each other. I thought Taylor had a good time. And that coming from Archie Manning via the Ticket in Omaha, or in Lincoln.
That's good news there. He also spent some time out on the West Coast, didn't he, during the offseason, so to speak.
Yep. Quarterback coach trying to help him. The new quarterback, Stanton, coming in. One of those recruits here in our recruiting report, working with the same quarterback guru. So a connection there.
I think. What about defensively? Where's the big question marks are going to be?
That's my concern, brother. Yeah. That is my concern. You've got to replace linebackers and some folks in the secondary line. I think that's where my concern is. That's where a lot of my questions are going to be going into the Husker season over the next month, trying to pick everybody's brain on where this defense is, because there's a lot of good players they have to replace. We've lost a lot of good defensive players over the last 2 years.
Is Bo going to be more involved with the defense this year, you think?
Yeah, with Carl gone, yeah. No doubt about it. You've got a new defensive coordinator, and so you've got Bo Pelini stepping in there and going to try and do as much as he can. Let's go to the
We might need a lot of help over there. Bo might have to step in and pull some magic over there. Huh?
Well, that means Tim Beck and a boy's got to take care of business on offense because that's why he had to get involved with all that in the first place. Mike in Hastings says, Travell's high school coach, talking about Dixon, was good friends with Corey Raymond, Husker assistant, and he committed because of his connection. Once Raymond left, he was considered a soft verbal, and many considered him gone. So that's the opinion of some of the Husker folks out there, and that is our TNL Husker Recruiting Report brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems. Find out how easy the choice is by contacting your nearest TNL dealer or by going online, TLIRR.com, TLIRR.com. TNL Irrigation Systems are proven technology that works at TNL.
Since we got out of the Big 12 conference, are you following it day-to-day like we did when we were in the conference?
Not day-to-day, but I will tell you this. One, it is interesting that our friends at the Associated Press continue to put out Big 12 articles, and I don't know if that's for our borderline states so that they can have Kansas State, Missouri, Iowa State information, but they keep us up to date on anything, and I think it's still interesting. I mean, it's not like the Big 12 ended. I think there are still people with ties. There are still kids from Nebraska that are attending school in the Big 12 conference. And I was a little – I don't know why I was surprised, but I was when I saw the preseason media poll come out yesterday. Do you follow it, Mike? I mean, I don't follow it, but if I see a story, I'll read it.
Oh, yeah. We'll take that. Were you surprised that West Virginia was second in the preseason poll?
Yeah, their quarterback is preseason player of the year. West Virginia and TCU coming in, and they're both picked in the top five of the Big 12.
Oklahoma first, West Virginia second, and Texas third. Good to see Texas down at third, huh?
Maybe even lower. Oklahoma State, who took it all last year, they are fourth. TCU is fifth. And Kansas State played at a BCS game last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
They're picked sixth in the conference.
Yeah, one first place vote in the preseason poll.
And then without Robert Griffin, Baylor picked seventh. A lot of people think Coach Rhodes is doing great things at Iowa State, but he's picked eighth. Then Texas Tech and lowly Kansas, as Charlie Weiss gets ready, is picked to finish last.
Things don't get any better down in Kansas, huh? Charlie Weiss and the gang?
That is just incredible. Well,
last place.
I mean, they were terrible last year, and it's hard to believe that they could really turn it around. Once you get down, when you're in that 7, 8, 9, 10 area, if you're picked to finish 7th, don't do lower. If you're picked to finish 10th, try to finish a couple spots higher and let the process begin. I think it'll be interesting. When we were talking with Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network yesterday, he said you cannot overlook the fact. He said, I thought Nebraska would do better. But he goes, when you look at it, first year in the conference, learning all these teams, saying, well, this is what we did against Northwestern last year. Let's just do it again. Well, you can't because you don't play them. You don't know their style. It's a heavy, heavy dose of trying to get ready week to week. You just don't have any time, and then try to install that. I think that's going to be the same for West Virginia and TCU. I think there is no way that both of those teams finish in the top five.
Oklahoma got 32 of the possible 41 first place votes in this media poll. So, yeah, West Virginia will have a learning curve, won't they?
Well, yeah, and they're supposed to have a very good football team, and they did. I mean, they were good enough to get game day out there last year for a big game, and they got walloped, and that was kind of the end of that, and they're still trying to overcome, the coaching changes, and Coach Stewart actually passed away. He wasn't the coach anymore after the changes. The old Oklahoma State coach was there. That'll be an interesting one, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, with Coach Dana Halverson out there. But it'll be interesting to see if West Virginia and TCU can live up to the hype, especially TCU. There's a whole different ball game. They're not playing Utah Valley State every week.
We don't have any PUDs around here anymore, do we? Maybe Kansas?
Yeah.
Kansas, the putt of the Big 12.
And in the Big 10 conference, we don't get to play any of them. Let's take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to make contact with Dustin Dupirak of the Bloomington Herald Times. We'll be back after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Maximize fuel economy and disperse moisture with Berryman Fuel Injector Cleaner on sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts for $2.99. Regular use ensures higher compression, fewer repairs, lower operating costs, and increased spark plug and injector life. Berryman Fuel Injector Cleaner for $2.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
How much coffee are you going to need today? 4, 5 cups? It doesn't last very long, does it? Listen, 1 5-hour energy lasts for several hours, so you can get a lot done without refills. It's packed with B vitamins and nutrients to make it last. Plus, 5-hour energy has 0 sugar and 4 calories. So the next time that 2:30 feeling hits, you have a choice. 2 or 3 more cups of coffee, or 1 5-hour energy. For more information, go to 5hourenergy.com.
Individual results may vary.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A heat advisory continues for our area today as we'll see lots of sunshine with a high of about 102 with winds out of the southeast increasing to 10 to 20 at times later today. Tonight we'll stay clear with a low at 70. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 90.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have along with us on today's program. We're going to get to our 12 teams in 12 days in just a moment. But don't forget, folks, Big Daddy's Deli has plenty of great food for you because they're the home of a bazillion sandwiches. 2 locations in Hastings at 610 East South and 801 West 2nd. Or on top of the hill in Kearney at 3905 North 2nd. So many sandwiches, you can have one different every day, and it's going to take you through a year. It's so good. I can't believe how good it is. If you haven't tried it, it's definitely worth the trip. And if you have, you know how good it is. We have Big Daddy's Deli, top of the hill in Kearney. Glad to have them along with us. It's a good place to stop and get a quick little meal as you're out and about taking advantage of all the activities over the weekend in central Nebraska.
It's that time, 12 teams in 12 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 26th through the 28th. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Leaders Division for today's team.
Indiana.
The Hoosiers. It's time for 12 teams in 12 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And we're going to talk a little Indiana football. The Walter Camp Foundation released its watch list for Player of the Year today. Rex Burkhead of Nebraska is on there again. Taylor Martinez is not. And as we always say on the show, the guys in Vegas seem to be pretty smart. And Martinez and Burkhead are the same odds to win the Heisman Trophy. So I find it odd that Martinez is not on there. And unfortunately for Indiana, they do have some kids that are out there for some of the awards watch list, but no Player of the Year awards. And we're going to talk about Indiana and how they can get out of the cellar of the Big Ten Conference. Welcoming back, we had a chance to talk with him last year a couple times last season on the Doug and Daddy Show. Dustin DePerak covers the Hoosiers for the Bloomington Herald Times. And Dustin, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. How you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, glad to have you on. And I guess to put this bluntly, what's wrong with Indiana? I know Coach Kevin Wilson, we look at the scores early on. They were very close. Our basketball program at the University of Nebraska, we're expecting maybe the worst season of all time coming up. Indiana seems to be really, really down. Is there any optimism, and what is the feeling out there in Hoosier Land about their football team?
I mean, there's some level of optimism, but I mean, I guess if you ever asked the question, what's wrong with Indiana, it's that it's still Indiana. I mean, obviously 1-11 is still worse than they're used to, but they're not used to very good, you know. Basically, it's the same problems that Indiana's always had. It's just not, you know, a huge emphasis in the state itself. And, you know, they've been in the cellar forever, and they've always been trying to get out of it. Now, what was wrong particularly last year? I mean, there was a combination of things that worked to make, you know, to lead to kind of a down cycle. And part of it was they lost some guys. They were really talented players, and they didn't necessarily replace them. I mean, they lost a guy in Ben Chappell, who was a way better player than he'll ever get credit for, just because he was on a 4-8, 5-7, you know, team for most of his career. But he really was a guy that they could really rely on, and they spent most of last year trying to figure out who their quarterback should be. And also, there was just the transition. I mean, just the issue of bringing in a new guy who had a much different way of doing things than the previous guy, and there were some guys that didn't, you know, some players that didn't necessarily want to be there, and you had that whole kind of ugly transition. And I think they've reached the point that they're through the worst of that. You know, Wilson is a guy who's, you know, it takes some work to get along with him. I mean, he generally, you know, the guys that are still around get along with him pretty well, but there were certain guys that didn't take to sort of his more demanding approach, and a lot of those guys left, and there was a lot of turmoil because of that. There was a lot of, you know, guys not necessarily pointing fingers at each other, but looking around and saying, okay, who's committed and who isn't? And they finally reached the point that it seems like everybody in the program are guys that want to be there, that like the direction that things are heading, that like, you know, having a coach that's demanding, that like have a guy that gets after them. And you could tell in spring that there was a much better atmosphere around the program. I think in a lot of cases last year they were playing a lot of true freshmen, or at least redshirt freshmen. I can't remember how many they started, but it was a pretty big number. And I think they ended up playing like 17 of them, and I think they started 11. That might not be exactly accurate, but it's something close to that. At some point in time. And I think that makes a big difference, you know, at least a year of experience, guys knowing what they're supposed to do. Last year you saw just a lot of, you know, especially defensively, I mean, they had one of the worst defenses in Division I, and a big part of that was that they just had a lot of breakdowns. They had a lot of situations where guys just kind of missed their assignments, you know, weren't where they were supposed to be, and, you know, that was exploited. So, I mean, I think you've seen there's some progress there. You know, they're guys that have kind of, you know, come along in terms of knowing and understanding their assignments. It's a much better atmosphere in terms of just guys getting along and guys, you know, buying into the program and into the coaching staff. So that should make a difference. Does that make a big difference? Does that make enough to make them a Big Ten contender? No, but at the very least puts them back at least in a general positive direction.
We're talking with Dustin Dupirak of the Bloomington Herald-Times about Indiana football. I guess let's just start breaking it down a little bit here, Dustin. Is the quarterback competition as open as it appears?
It's pretty open, yeah. Throughout spring, you only had two guys, and it was Trey Roberson and the junior college recruit, Cameron Kaufman. And it seemed pretty even. I think Roberson was a little bit ahead. But, you know, both of those guys showed that they could at least do something. They could lead the offense. But they got a pretty big recruit by the name of Nate Sudfeld out of California. He's a, you know, 6'5 pocket passer, but he apparently has some pretty decent athleticism. I haven't personally seen him play yet. But, you know, from everything we've heard, the coaching staff loves him and thinks that he's going to get a legitimate shot at it. Obviously, you know, by the end of the year, Roberson was a starter, so they're not terrified about the idea of putting a true freshman in. They don't love the idea, but they've done it. So, you know, Sudfeld will get a real shot. I think Roberson, you know, looks a little bit better. They want to pass the ball more and better and just be generally more accurate this year. By the end of last season, I mean, Roberson was pretty much they made it pretty much a spread option, you know, run and attack. Roberson didn't throw very much, but, you know, he really, his arm got a lot better, I thought. He seems a lot more accurate. So he's going to be competitive even in that sense. You know, he's not just going to be, you know, the straight running option. So they've got three guys I think they feel, you know, pretty confident in. They feel like they can do the job, and I think it's going to be a good battle in the fall. I think Roberson still wins it, but I think Sudfeld can come back and get him, and so can Kaufman. So any one of those three guys could be the starter on the, you know, for the opener against Indiana State.
Well, there are a lot of good skill players, obviously, in the Big Ten Conference, and maybe Houston gets overlooked a little bit, but you've got a running back that's got a chance to be potentially pretty darn good on a team that's just still trying to find its legs.
Absolutely. I mean, Houston, you know, definitely showed a lot of strides last year. I wasn't sure that they were ever going to pick a guy. And Wilson seemed pretty content with the idea early on of having, you know, two and three running backs that were sharing the load, but eventually Houston kind of made it obvious that he was the guy. You know, just really good combination of speed and power. He's exactly kind of that thoroughbred, you know, type of guy that you want, that, you know, that can shake off tackles, can, you know, can run over people, but also can just flat out outrun people. And, you know, we saw a little bit of, you know, what we saw in the spring. It seems like he just keeps getting better. And they've got good compliments for him. They got a kid named Isaiah Roundtree. He's a transfer from Morehead State that looked really good in spring, really, really fast kid. That's a kind of good change of pace for Houston. They've got a good backup in D'Angelo Roberts, is a local kid who ran for like 8,000 yards in high school or something like that. So they got good, you know, good guys behind him to help him out. But he seems to have really kind of he really turned the corner towards the end of the year. You know, most of that was because they were doing a ton of running the ball because it was a lot of option stuff. But you know, he's the type of guy that can get a hole and just really break away from people, and also can run through a hole and break some tackles. So you know, he's probably the most impressive skill player that they've got on that team.
Dustin, let's look at the other side of the ball. I'm looking at some of the kids that are coming to the media days to represent Indiana next week, and some of the award winners. Looks like defensive tackle Adam Replogle, pretty good kid, and maybe the best player on that defensive line.
Probably it's him and the other defensive tackle,
Larry Black. Yeah.
Those are definitely the two guys that are the most experienced. They've had the most success. You know, Replogle was just a really tough kid, and you know, the Replogle family is mostly. You know, he's the second of three that are in it that have gone through Indiana. They're, you know, his older brother Tyler graduated after the 2010 season, and also his younger brother Mike is going to be a sophomore. You know, he's a backup linebacker right now, and it's just a pretty awesome family of just, you know, big dudes are generally quiet kids, but they work incredibly hard and are just really, really tough dudes. And you know, Adam is very much in that mold. He's the biggest of the three. The other, you know, I think they've got a fourth one who's also a linebacker, is the youngest. I think he's actually going to Purdue, though. But Adam is just a really, really just tough guy to block. And that's, you know, they don't have a lot going defensively, but, you know, Adam has been one of the, you know, guys that they've been able to rely on, that he's going to make at least some kind of plays. He's going to be able to clog up the middle a little bit and make some plays inside, you know, keep teams from really running the ball up the middle. And Black, Larry Black as well. I mean, he's a guy that used to be really heavy. He's benefited from the new coaching staff. It's been a lot more demanding of them, especially when it comes to strength and conditioning and even nutrition. Larry Black's lost a lot of weight, become a lot faster, a lot quicker. And those two guys are a pretty decent team. You wouldn't put them among the best defensive tackles in the Big Ten, because that's really kind of, at least especially last year, was really the strength of the entire conference. But both of those guys are at least solid enough that they're something they could rely on. They could at least rely on having two good guys in the middle that they can count on. That's one of the places where they've really got experience. They don't have a lot of other places, but they do have it there.
Dustin DePerak with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Got to ask you about one of our favorites. Of course, Mike Eckler is your co-defensive coordinator out there. We always had fun with him here on the Doug and Daddy Show. How's he doing on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, Eckler, I mean, you know Eckler, he's nuts.
yes, he
more
is.
Or less. I mean, that's kind of the start of it. I mean, what he really got after it in terms of recruiting this offseason. I mean, they went and got it was obvious to him that he needed to fix some things, especially in his linebacking core. Went and got some junior college kids, David Cooper and Jakari Alexander. He loves both of those guys. You know, he's a huge fan of both of them. And I think, you know, that should make a difference. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a weak spot last year, but they did lose the two best guys that they had in Jeff Thomas and Leon Beckham. Both of those guys graduated. And so he had, one promising really returner in Chase Hubler, and he had some younger kids that, I think look really good. Eventually guys like, Mike Replogle, Kyle Kennedy, that were true freshmen last year but didn't play very much. But I think he realized he needed some guys. He used the word grown men. He used another word in there, but he also just said, we need some guys that are going to be able to step in here right away and play, and are going to be experienced, and that are going to have a shot. And it seems like Alexander and Cooper are those kind of players. Overall defensively, I mean, I think they added some more. They had a lot of young defensive backs last year. I think that was kind of the major issue, is they had a bunch of guys who had some talent, but we're still figuring out. And they were almost always playing true freshmen at safety, and they played a couple true freshmen at corner in the nickel position. And you saw some promise from some of those kids, but you also saw some situations where they got lost, where they either where they blitzed where they weren't supposed to, or where they were in one place where they were supposed to be someplace else. And I think you'll see less of that this year. I mean, they had probably the most promising player they had in this defensive backfield was a kid named Mark Murphy, but they were moving him all over the place. They moved him up to linebacker, they had him back at safety, they had him in the nickel position, they had him pretty much everywhere. He's a really, really smart kid. He's the son of a former NFL player, but it was still a lot to put on his plate. So I think you're going to see some progress from those guys. I think Eckler and Doug Mallory, the other defensive coordinator, are going to have an easier time keeping those guys in line. I think last year they were afraid to take a lot of risks because, they knew that their guys didn't really know everything. And a lot of times when they did take risks, and Mike likes to take risks, Mike loves to blitz people, And, you know, sometimes it burned them. I mean, Mike even came in a few times after, you know, after games, at least, you know, during the week and said, you know what, that play was my fault. I called a blitz. I should have known that they weren't going to be able to pick it up. You know, they weren't going to be able to, you know, kind of defend it on the back end, and we got burned. You know, they didn't, you know, get it right, or I called a blitz when we shouldn't call a blitz, and it didn't work out for us. But I think they'll, I you know, can't say they'll be that much better. I mean, they're still one of the worst, you know, they had one of the worst statistical seasons in all of Division 1A or all of the FBS, but I think they should have some improvements. They've added, you know, added talent and experience. It should help.
Well, that's get to the last two questions that we ask all our guests as we preview all 12 teams with Dustin DePerrick here, the Bloomington Herald Times. Every schedule is going to be tough when you were 1-11. What is your July prospectus for Indiana? What constitutes a successful season, and what do you think is going to happen? Indiana State, Massachusetts, Ball State, and then Navy later on are the non-conference. But Northwestern, Michigan State, Ohio State, pretty tough way to start the conference schedule.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, my guess right now is 3 or 4 wins. I don't see them. You know, I think they'll come back and win the early non-conference games. I mean, I think, you know, they shouldn't have any problem with Indiana State. And even though they have to go to Massachusetts and play in Foxborough, I mean, that's not going to be easy. And they lost to Ball State last year, so, you know, that's not going to be easy either. But I think they end up getting those three. I don't think they go out to Navy and win. And I somehow, some way, I think they win a conference game. I don't know who they beat. You know, there's not an easy one on that schedule. There's not an obvious, you know, Northwestern's not an obvious win, obviously, anymore. You know, certainly Illinois isn't. Certainly Purdue isn't. You know, I don't know who it is they beat. But I think they get somebody, and I think they end up with 4 wins. And does that constitute successful? Only because it's that much of an improvement. I mean, 4 wins, you know, 4, 5, 6 wins is really what Indiana's used to, with 6 wins being, you know, high watermark usually. So I think they would take 4 at this point, because at least show some degree of advancement, you know, show that they are getting better, that there is some degree of progress going on, and considering that it is a pretty tough schedule and there's not a lot of easy wins on there, you know, I think they'd be able to come away with that and feel better about themselves. But I think, you know, 6 is a long way off, and, you know, 4 is not going to be easy. I mean, getting a conference game is not going to be easy, and I like I said, I don't see them being able to go to Annapolis and beat Navy. So I think if they get 4, they got to be, you know, pretty happy with the strides they make.
And our last question, who will win the Legends and the Leaders division? Put Ohio State in there, even though they're not eligible for the championship. Who are your two favorites this year in the Big Ten?
We actually just filled out the informal media poll, and I went with Michigan and Wisconsin. I think, you know, Michigan obviously made a ton of strides last year, still have Denard Robinson. I mean, I think he's still the most electric player in the Big Ten. And I think, you know, Wisconsin, I think, you know, Robinson might be more generally exciting, but I think Monte Ball, if there's going to be a guy who has a really, you know, good Heisman shot in the Big Ten, it's Monte Ball, and he was really close to it last year. So I think those two teams are probably the best. I think you'll see Michigan make a lot of strides on defense. They still have a lot of really good offensive players, so I think that, and I'm not sure that the Legends is that strong, especially with all the Michigan State lost. And I think on the leader side, I think, you know, Wisconsin's kind of the, you know, even, I know they lost some linemen, but they're Wisconsin. They grow those, you know, in the fields more or less. I mean, they'll be huge again. I'm sure they'll be able to run the ball, and they bring in another transfer quarterback in Danny O'Brien. So I don't think they'll, you know, I think they might have a little bit of fall off, because I don't think O'Brien will be as good as Russell Wilson was. But I think they'll still be really good, and I did go with Wisconsin to beat Michigan and get back to, well, I guess the Rose Bowl. But yeah, I think that'll be the end of it. I Wisconsin over Michigan is what you're going to see in the title game.
Well, Dustin, we sure appreciate you giving us some time again here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Hopefully things work out a little bit better for the Hoosiers, especially since Nebraska doesn't have them. And we'll see you in Chicago next week, man.
All right, sounds good, man. Thanks so much.
Take care. Dustin DePerrick of the Bloomington Herald Times joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike Will back with us here. Michael, Dustin likes to talk. You would think Indiana was 11-1, man.
I'll give them 3 wins next year, and that is it. I cannot find a game that they're going to win in the Big Ten. Can you?
Who would it be? Well, that's what Dustin said. You know, you got to, whoever it is going to be an upset. If they start, he's thinking possibly start 3-0, and then all of a sudden, I think their best chance The problem is the Patsies, if you want to call them Patsies, are on the road. Northwestern, Illinois, Purdue. And now you have to say those are the weakest ones in their division. And at Purdue is the last game of the year. If you lose eight in a row, it's going to be pretty tough. I mean, they did it last year and played them tough the last game. But if I had to pick one, I would say it's Purdue.
And the chips will be cashed in by then.
Well, I'll tell you this.
The chips, yeah.
I'll tell you this, Michael. If it got to that point and Purdue struggles this year and Indiana beats them, that would be the end of Danny Hope as their head coach, too. That could be a significant game that's not significant.
But they could, like you said, they could start off 3-0. And that would they would be going crazy in Indiana if they start off 3-0, wouldn't they?
And if they do, then you have confidence, and I think that they would have a very good chance of beating Northwestern.
I think that their biggest improvement has got to be on the defensive side of the ball. Like you said, they were absolutely horrible on defense. They were last in the league last year in rushing defense, total defense, scoring defense. When you're last in the league in those three categories, I don't like your chances.
Well, that leaves us with Iowa and Wisconsin next Monday and Tuesday. And by the way, a lot of people picking Wisconsin, Michigan. They do not play in the regular season, so that would make it very, very intriguing. We need to take our final break. All of the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show taken care of by our friends at BK. Burger King, two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. We'll wrap up another week right after this.
Right now at Lowe's, check out a Whirlpool four-door refrigerator. It was $2,499, now just $1,999 for a saving of $500. Plus, save an additional 10% off all major appliances, $399 or more. You can also take advantage of 18-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. And don't forget to check out our current promotions on cabinets and countertops. Lowe's never stop improving. Offer valid through July 23rd. Special financing cannot be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Your first word probably wasn't something like finance or savings or ATM. But whatever that first word was, it opened up a world to you that was built on conversations. It's this exchange of ideas that Wells Fargo puts into practice every day through listening, guiding, and planning. So when the conversation is about ways to grow your savings or your business, we'll be here to help you find the right answers. Because an open dialogue is what opens doors. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A.
CTS Clinical is the brand new doctor-formulated weight loss system with ingredients clinically proven to shed 21 pounds in only 12 weeks. Get the brand new CTS Clinical without a prescription exclusively at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
When it comes to wings, HK Sports Bar and Grill is Wing City. Hi, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I want to personally invite you to come in and try our great New York-style wings. Plump wings, deep-fried any way you want. Brew-battered, spicy, or traditional, or naked and dipped in one of our savory sauces. In fact, on Thursdays, you get a pound of wings and a pint of beer for just $9. HK Sports Bar and Grill, where you'll see every game of every sport every day.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Oh, the cruise night was rocking at Midway last night. And now you can get a classic that says 2012 or 2013. Buy a Ram 1500. How about a Dodge Journey? Grand Caravan, Chrysler Town and Country. You want a truck? The Chevy Silverado 1500. They've got the Jeep Compass out there. You can go whatever range, whatever style, whatever your mood is at the Midway Auto Dealership's Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. They're there for you. Beat the heat by checking out their entire inventory online at thinkmidway.com. They also have simple credit approval. You can fill out an online application for that. It's all there at thinkmidway.com. And don't forget to like them on Facebook for special promotions that save you money every single day. Midway, a better way. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Our poll question for the weekend, who do you think will win the Legends Division? Nebraska, Michigan, Michigan State, or one of the other three. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. Yesterday, we went with the Leaders Division. 62% of you said Wisconsin. 31 of you said Ohio State. And tonight, baseball all over the place. And on 1230 KHAS from Duncan Field, the juniors, Kearney and Hastings, are playing out at North Platte. And the seniors are playing in Hastings, Michael.
Yeah, Hastings, maybe one of the hottest teams around. We've won, six games in a row heading into the area tournament, so that's always good to see. But Kearney going to be very, very tough to knock off here in the area tournament. Of course, Kearney hosting one of the Class A sites for the state tournament, so they don't really have a whole lot to play for this weekend. But Kearney is Kearney, and they'll be tough to beat.
Well, I know they're sending out. I talked with Coach Archer. He went with Keegan Fitzgerald, was able to get us on out of here with the number one. He's going to go with their number one tonight. So I know Fitzgerald's been pretty good.
And Hastings, I don't think they're going to throw their number one tonight. They're going to save it for actually, they only got to win one game to qualify for the state tournament, the way things are set up this year. So I think they're going to roll the dice here in game number one and maybe throw their number one for the elimination game tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and Coach Archer said he wouldn't be surprised if you throw your two or three today and you get through, fine, you're in. And if you don't, then you've got him in the make or break game. But you can hear all of Hastings' games on 1230 KHAS. Hey, that's it for our Doug and Daddy show here today. We want to thank, from the Bloomington News-Herald, Dustin Dupirak for taking a look at Indiana at the British Open as we leave you right now. And don't forget, live coverage coming up all Saturday morning and Sunday morning as well. Your leader is still Brant Snedeker at 10-under, Adam Scott 8-under, Tiger Woods another bogey. So a host of folks are at 4-under, Woods, Laurie, Jason Duffner, and Graham McDowell. Duffner and Matt Kuchar having good rounds in the afternoon. We'll be back on Monday. Iowa football on Monday. Mike, enjoy the fair and baseball this weekend.
All right, we'll catch you next week as we get ready for Big 12 Media Days next weekend.
Thursday and Friday, Mike and I live from Chicago. Folks, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.